Isaiah 53, we'll read the entire chapter, 12 verses, 1 to 12. I want you this morning to understand the reality of the sufferings of Christ, but also the realities and the blackness and horror of your own sins against God. Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be attentive. Father, help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ as Isaiah did when he saw him high and lifted up. Father, if truly we see that, we will say as he did, woe is me, for I am a man undone, and I dwell in the midst of a people that are undone and unclean, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Help us to see the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ for us individually, O God, but yet as one, as a body, as your church. O God, whom he hath purchased with his own blood, help us this day. Forgive us for our sins, O God. Forgive those who know not what they do, Lord. There are many like that, even in our own families. Help, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. He is despised and rejected of men. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The Lord did lay on him the iniquity of us all. I sinned and he took the brunt of my sin. He was punished for my sin. He took the penalty of my sin. For the transgression of my people, Isaiah says, was he stricken, or he was wounded, or he was plagued. He was cut off from the land of the living. for my people. He shall bear their iniquities. So often I think that we view our sins and our transgressions in this day as just missteps. It was just a mistake, an honest mistake. It was just a trip up. No worries. I will do better next time. Understand that I am speaking to us who are believers in Christ. A sin is not a misstep. A sin is not a mistake. A sin is not a simple trip up. It is rebellion against God. I think we most often think too lightly of sin. In truth, our sins and transgressions are crimes and offenses of the worst kind and of the worst sort. They are and were committed against our Creator and against our God. And if that doesn't move you, they are and were committed against the God who loves sinners. One who is patient and long-suffering and gracious and merciful and slow to anger. See, one of the larger problems in modern-day Christianity is just this. We don't see God for who He is, and because of that, we don't see sin for what it truly is, as abhorrent and reprehensible against God. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There is enough malevolence in our hearts for us to suffer the torments of a thousand hells. Right now. Beloved, the closer you are to God, the more you will see the stench and abhorrence of your own sins. When you read the old divines and the men of God, and even when you're around Christians today, that you see in them godliness and holiness, and yet they view themselves as abhorrent to God. We look at them and we say they're godly. They have such a holy life, but the closer they get to God, the more reprehensible they see themselves in the sight of a holy God. James said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. But when He does, you will see yourself in the true light of His countenance. There is enough black horror and sin in every one of our lives, brethren, to sink us to hell right now. But God, in His mercy and in His love and grace, sent forth His Son to die for the worst of sinners. Sin is not just a misstep. It's not just a mistake. It's not something that we can just overlook. It is against a holy God. Listen, when we possess a low view of God, we will think lightly of sin. If we tolerate sin, it is because we are intolerant of God. We cannot love God and at the same time love our sins. And when we love our sins, it is because we do not love God. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil of sin too great. Here at the cross, you may view its nature rightly. Here at the cross, you may truly estimate the guilt and punishment of our sins. And here you may rightly estimate how bad it really was. We understand very little about the death of Christ, what He experienced in His agony. And in His death, what He experienced in Gethsemane and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. We know very little of it. It was a voluntary death and an agony which He embraced for the love that He had for sinners, for the worst of sinners. It doesn't make sense to us in our natural wiring to love those that are so dead set against Him. We're not wired like that, but that's the love of Christ, that He loves those that hated Him. He loves His enemy. God commendeth His love toward those that were His enemies. We read and consider that the wrath of God was poured out upon His holy soul without mixture for our sins. And we can't even come to the threshold of understanding the reality of what He suffered. when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember these words, brethren, of the suffering Savior next time you lie. Remember these words of the suffering Savior the next time you cheat or think evil in your heart of your neighbor. Remember these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The next time you're angry with your brother or your sister or your father or your mother or your son or your daughter without a cause. Remember the words, these words of the suffering Savior next time you laugh at someone's sin or laugh at your own. Remember these words of the suffering Savior next time you love the world and cast God aside for your own idols and for your own loves that are in this world. Remember the suffering Savior. If it were only my sins that were laid upon Christ, it was still a death of unspeakable agony and torment if he only died for me. And so remember the suffering Savior. Every time that you're tempted to sin, every time you see something that you shouldn't look at and you dwell upon it and it draws you out of heaven and nails you to the earth, remember the suffering Savior. Beloved, there ought to be a humility about us, a humbleness, as we come to consider that our God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time to die for us who are so full of black of sin. The scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, desperately wicked. That's our hearts. If you would view God right and you would truly draw near to God, this is how you will see yourself. George Whitefield, in his comments on the Pharisee and the publican, wrote this. All the publican could say was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he could say when he went up to the temple to pray. What a stark contrast from the self-righteous and supercilious Pharisee. All the publican could see was his own sinfulness. He didn't try and compare himself with any other man. It was just him before a holy God and the weight of his sins upon himself as a sinner. This was all he could perceive. Yet this vision was true to the facts. He was thinking realistically, soberly, and sensibly because he was thinking with humility of himself before a holy God. Therefore, he cried out for mercy because he knew that as a sinner, he deserved nothing but God's wrath. No self-congratulations as the Pharisee, only self-abasement because of his sin. This is the face of Christian humility. It is thinking rightly of ourselves by seeing the gravity of our sins. Oh, that we might come to the table of the Lord this morning with a right view of our sins and with godly humility and thankfulness for our Lord's broken body and shed blood for our sins. 1 Corinthians 11, if you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 23. Remember, when you come to the table of the Lord this morning, you come because you are already a partaker of Christ. You come because you're already united to Christ. You come because you already commune with Christ. You're united to him by faith in his sacrificial death on the cross for your sins. You know that your righteousness is not your own. You know that you cannot merit your own righteousness. You know that he merited it in his life. And that's what is imputed unto you. He merited his own righteousness. It was his, and now he imputes that to all those that believe. But first, he died for the worst and blackest sinners on all the planet, you and me, who deserve 1,000 hells, whose hearts are full of ill will and malevolence toward God. He died. He loved. He gave himself for your sins. If you don't see yourself like that as the worst of sinner, you don't see yourself right. Because that's what we are in the eyes of a holy God. Verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed by one of his own apostles, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Those that have a low view of sin, or rather a low view of God, and think that sin is not a big deal, it's just a misstep. If you look at a little white lie, wherever that came from, if you look at just a small bad attitude as anything else but abhorrent to a holy God, then you have the wrong view of sin. And if you come to the Lord's table with a low view of God and a wrong view of sin, be careful. You may be coming unworthily to the table of the Lord. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And what he's telling us is to judge ourselves. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. We'll spend a few moments in prayer, and then I'll have the men come and pass out the crackers and the juice. Listen, in this, you're remembering that Jesus Christ died for you individually. If you're not born again, if you don't commune with Christ, if you haven't participated with Christ, if you're not a partaker of Christ by faith, then don't take it. If you do, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. If you're born again, you ought to take it. If there's sin that you need to get right with the Lord, then get it right. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. If you're here and you're lost and you think of sin as no big deal, I pity you. And I really do feel sorry for you, because you don't know what you're doing. If you saw someone sitting on the railroad tracks with a locomotive coming at him at 80 miles an hour, you would say that person is insane. Well, that's you if you are outside of Christ. You got something worse than a locomotive coming at you. It's the wrath of God. If you're lost, I pray that you turn from your sins to Christ. Let's pray.